You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
630 Chad Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 Chad.
Gets it back from James Neal. Alex Chase on Neal. Side of the net. Centers. One-timer save. Rebound. Score. Gaetan Haas has made it 2-0 Edmonton. His first of the year.
And that would turn out to be the game winner tonight. The Edmonton Oilers win 2-1 in Calgary. The Oilers have won 8 of their last 10. They're now 11-8 on the season. How about Mike Smith? He goes to 4-0 and bumps his save percentage up to .940. He's faced 133 shots this season. He stopped 125 of them. Jesse Puljujärvi also scores his fifth of the season. And for the second time this year, the Oilers win, even though neither Connor McDavid nor Leon Draisaitl records a point. And in the third period, the Oilers holding on to that lead only allowed 5 shots on goal. They outshot Calgary 25-21 tonight. Reed Wilkins, Rob Brown, Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Thanks for checking in tonight. First of the home and home between these two teams. Well, Rob, I would describe that as a bit of an uncommon Oilers victory, given what we've seen over the last few seasons.
I agree. But it's something that you feel good of. If you're the coach of this team, if you're a fan of this team, they're finding other ways to win hockey games. It used to be the Oilers won when Leon and Connor outscored the mistakes by their team. Now the Oilers a couple times this year have found ways to win close hockey games when Connor and Leon have quiet nights. At no point in the third period did you feel that the Calgary Flames were going to overcome the one-goal deficit. They couldn't get anything going. There was no sustained pressure. That was as good a defensive effort as I've seen the Oilers have in a while. They just completely shut down the Flames team. Mike Smith made the saves he had to make, but about halfway through the game, he really never had to make another big save because the team played so well in front of him. So, it wasn't a normal game. It was completely opposite of what we saw against the Jets. But the Oilers are showing that they can play different types of games against different types of opponents, and that bodes well as the season goes on.
Well, and Mike Smith didn't have to be as acrobatic or as busy as he has in some other games this season, but still extremely solid, seeing the puck. I mean, I mentioned the Flames only had 5 shots in the third. They did hit a post on a power play, but there was another chance on the power play, Rob, and it was interesting watching it because it was one of those where the camera angle is lined up with the shooter and the goaltender. And there was a screen in front of Smith, and Lindholm fired it, and then Smith just has it in his glove. Like, he's just picking up everything right now.
Yeah, it's a guy that's in a zone. Goalies will talk about it. When they're in a zone, the puck seems to come at them slower. They seem to be taller than they usually are. They're able to define the angles properly. And the game, just like for a player, when the game slows down for him, it does that for a goalie as well. And Mike Smith is in that zone right now. He looks comfortable. It's not him having to make desperation saves or he's acrobatic. It's just simple right now. He's not allowing rebounds. He's guiding any shots that he wants into the corner, over the glass. He's comfortable out there. I don't think any of us would have imagined that he'd come back. I mean, a .940 save percentage and a 4-0 record. Everyone was hoping that, you know, maybe he can at least spell Koskinen so Koskinen can get back on track and they can, you know, share the games and give them a fighter's chance. Well, it's been way better than that. Is Mike Smith has come back and been all world. And because of that, the Oilers are on a nice little run right now and moving up in the standings.
2-1, the Oilers win it. Puljujärvi from Barry and Nurse in the first period. Haas from Neal and Chiasson in the second. The Flames goal was Anderson from Goudreau. And that was it tonight. I mean, certainly fewer highlights and a lot more, much more of a lower event game than what we've seen in many Oilers games this season. Let's go back to Calgary for Mattress Superstore. Give them 5 minutes and they'll give you the best sleep of your life. Take the Sleepology body scan and take the guesswork out of buying a mattress. Here's Dave Tippett.
I'm not sure there's anything you didn't like about your defensive effort from your entire team, but can you talk about the Haas line and then the Larson-Russell pairing? Because those five seem to be excellent for your team tonight.
Haas's line with Neil and Chase line give us a real strong game, good forechecking game. They chipped in the winning goal, and so a real strong game. I didn't like we got up early, you know, got up 1-0, but our first period, I felt like we had to get better. Second period, about 10-minute mark, we started to push a little bit, and I thought we played all right. But in the third period, we missed a couple chances, but I thought we could have maybe extended the lead. But we did some things well, but there's lots of things we need to continue to improve on. And like I say, we've been playing okay, and we're finding ways to win, which is great. But we got to continue to push to get better.
Dave, you're 8-2 in your last 10, and in those 8 wins, you've only allowed 16 goals. You talked earlier that you gotta, limit goals against, and I know it's not perfect, but you're trending in the right direction.
Yeah, trending in the right direction. I think getting the 2 goaltenders back and up and playing certainly helps. But our team, we're starting to, you gel. There's certain things that you want your team to do when you're in certain situations, and we're starting to acknowledge those things a lot more, playing kind of the right way at the right times in games. But still lots of, like I say, still lots of growth. We can take care of the puck a little better at times, and some parts of the game where you'd like to see us play, a little more, less high risk and more direct. But that being said, we're getting enough to win, and that's what counts.
Mark Spector, Sportsnet.
Hey, you got a team that's, you guys win, you're going to win your share of 6-4 games and 5-2 games and stuff. I thought tonight it's 2-1 for quite a long time, and I didn't see Mike Smith having to make a bunch of great saves. He played well.
No, played solid.
Limited. He played solid, but he didn't have to put on a circus act here. This is a game that shows your team can win 2-1 once in a while as well. Is that fair?
I thought we played, third period, we played pretty well. We played smarter and we did things, a lot of right things, won some wall battles and competed hard in front of our net. And, last game we were in here, we gave up a lot of chances in the slot. Tonight we didn't give up as many, and that's when, from a coaching standpoint, you show your team's improving, and we're moving the right direction. So we look comfortable in the 2-1 game, which is good. I thought we had a couple chances to extend the lead, but their goaltender made some real good saves. But I like the way we hung in there and got the win.
And Puljujarvi's now officially turned into a weapon for you guys. He's putting pucks away. All those chances earlier this season that weren't going in are now. Yeah. What's it feel like to have another top 6 forward in your lineup?
Well, he's a good player. We saw that early, just with what he was doing. Like you say, he wasn't getting rewarded, but he's a threat out there. He gets himself into scoring position, and they start going in for him. He's gonna. He is a real good player, but he can be, and he's a dangerous player, but he's a successful dangerous player when they go in for him.
Ryan Rashog, TSN.
Dave, you're developing some young defensemen, and Evan Bouchard's one of them. So as part of that, they're not always going to be on the ice deep in games and such. But, because of all the back-to-backs this year and the tight schedule, you had Nurse out for 30 minutes tonight. Is that a little bit of a dicey balance between not having to overplay your top 4 on a back-to-back, but also, getting these young guys in and playing them?
It's always a balance, young players, but, the expectations to win. But when they get in there, they are expected to do the job. And we've relied on guys. And when Lagie was in there, we relied on him. And Bush is getting some quality minutes now. We're relying on everybody. Obviously, you got top players who are going to play in key situations, especially this is a really important game. You're down, coming down the stretch in 2-1, you're going to play your top players. But, it's a great experience for our young guys, and they continue to get better.
You had a run of games here for Mike Smith, maybe giving him a chance to get his feet underneath him. It hasn't all been great, but is this the battle that you like in Mike Smith, the way he fought back?
Yeah, I mean, he had the one tough night, but other than that, he's been real solid, really solid. It was really solid again tonight, too, so like I say, it's great to, we're a team, we need both guys up and going, and now with Schmitty back, it looks like he's playing real well, and Koski will get back in there, he'll play real well, and it'll be, you know, I think they'll be a real good asset for our team.
Jim Matheson.
Dave, you referenced Haas and Neil and Chase on. What did you like about them?
They had good energy. You know, they checked well in the offensive zone, allowed them to keep pucks in there. You know, they got the winning goal, driving the net, just simple play, driving the net and hanging around the net. So they were just, they were a pretty good line. You know, Nealer was anxious to get in. He's put some good work in practice. He was anxious to get going back. Haas is finally getting up to speed a little bit. And you know, Chase was a big guy that played with Neil in the play in there last year, and they played pretty well. So I like their line tonight. They were competitive, and they did a lot of things well.
And do you like at the end of a game not having to mention Draisaitl and Connor McDavid in a win?
Well, I like mentioning that we played well as a team and we won as a team.
Jack Michael, 630 Chad.
Dave, I apologize if you've covered this, but just the closing out in the third period, I think there was maybe 7 or 8 minutes where Calgary was just having trouble even getting across the line. Is that what you're looking for with a one-goal lead on the road? Is that a nice little blueprint to kind of set the standard?
Well, you do a lot of things right. I would like to see us bury a couple of those chances, but their goalie made good saves on them, you know, so... We did a lot of things well in third, but there's, you know, it comes down to you need some saves, you need a good play. Maybe it might be a back check, you know, a puck that has to get in on, or get out on the wall and get in the blue line. I mean, there's little things that have to happen to just increase the odds of winning, and I thought we did a lot of those things tonight.
Final question, Tony Brar, Oilers TV.
Hey, Dave, sorry, jumped on late myself, so apologies if you answered this, but can you maybe talk about the evolution of Tyson Barrie over the course of this season? Obviously off to a slow start, but now he's second in the National Hockey League among D-men in scoring.
Yeah, he's really come on. I think he was one of those victims of no exhibition game, so you're trying to get a feel for what he can do. He was getting a feel for his new teammates, and it took a few games to get going, and since we put him in Nurse when Bearsy went out, he's really played well, really come into his own. And the same goes for that power play. You know, it took him for a little bit to get going, get comfortable there, but now he's in line with everybody else, and he's played very well.
That is Dave Tippett, head coach of the Edmonton Oilers, who win 2-1 tonight in Calgary. Reed Wilkins, Rob Brown with you at 9:53. Well, Rob, let's start with Tyson Barrie, who was asked about near the end there. And all of a sudden, Barrie, who we were scratching our heads about 6, 7, 8 games into the season, now has 15 points in 19 games. And you're seeing what he can bring at times on the power play, maybe not so much tonight, but jumping up into the play and kind of acting like a fourth forward if there's space to do it. And that's what happened on the opening goal of the game when he set up Puljujärvi.
Well, when Barrie was looking at where he wanted to sign in the offseason, as an offensive player, you're trying to think, okay, where can I go and have success? And obviously, when you look at the Oilers lineup, they got the McDavid and Draisaitl and Nugent Hopkins and these great players that can move the puck and create opportunities. So if you're Barrie, okay, I want to play there because, I mean, I'm going to get chances. And what Barrie does is he jumps up late. He will find a quiet area, and everyone's facing. They're all back-checking so fast, and he comes into as a second wave, and now the Leons and the Connors can find him. And he's smart when he has the puck. We saw a couple times tonight, and on the one where the goal went in, where he fakes the shot and then keeps moving and trying to find a better angle either to get the puck on net or trying to find a better passing lane. No one ever questioned his offensive ability. There was always some warts when it came back on the back end. But even that this year, especially in the last 10, 12 games, isn't noticeable. I mean, the one tonight where he fell down, but he's playing 27, 28, played 30 minutes the other night. He's a guy that the coaching staff is relying on right now in big minutes and important times on the hockey game. So he's been excellent. And again, when certain people wanted him out or there was talk that he should be out of the lineup, Dave Tippett had a little longer leash for him because he knew what this guy was capable of doing. And the Oilers fans and the organization has been rewarded because over the last 10, 12 games, he has been excellent and he's been a game changer.
Well, and I mean, we really saw something different from the Oilers tonight. They only allow 21 shots against. I'm just looking back on two occasions last season. They allowed exactly 21 shots, a 4-1 win over the Rangers and a 4-3 overtime loss to Anaheim in February. So, I mean, the way they played in the neutral zone and the calmness they played with, that's something that was really encouraging to see.
It was. If you want to be a good team, a team that wins divisions, a team that wins playoff series, you got to be able to close games out when you have a lead. You would love to extend the lead, and that's what Dave Tippett talked about when he said there was a couple chances in the third period they could have scored that, you know, third goal that would have given them some more breathing room. But sometimes goalies play well, and you don't get that breathing room. So when you are faced with that, you need to be able to win the one goal game. You need to be able to shut the other team down, and the Oilers did that. The Flames pushed in the third period, but they got nowhere. They had one or two chances when they were on the power play, but 5-on-5, the Oilers clogged the neutral zone. And I think it was one shift, three times the Flames came up, got blocked at the blue line. The puck went all the way back down the other way. And twice, Jujhar Khaira did it himself. The guy's trying to beat them because there was nothing. There was no lanes to pass the puck. They dumped the puck in. The Oilers held up the other forwards. Mike Smith would come out and play it, or the defenseman would get back there quickly. And they were out of their zone just as fast as the puck came in. This isn't what we saw out of the Oilers before. And it bodes well that they're buying into a system that allows them to win, you know, the high-scoring games against the Jets or also the low-scoring games against the Calgary Flames. That's how you win divisions.
Quick break for the news and weather. You'll hear from Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. You'll hear from Gaetan Haas, who gets his first of the season tonight. We're also happy to hear from you. You can get us on the CertainTeed hotline. CertainTeed, professional-grade building materials, pro all the way, 780-496-0063. Oilers have won 8 of their last 10, 2-1 victory tonight in Calgary. We're back after the news. Heartland Ford overtime open line.
Nurse to Barry, hesitates, creates a lane. Now centers, quick shot, score! Yes, a Puljujärvi has made it 1-0. A beautiful feed from Tyson Barry, and Puljujärvi's fifth goal in 7 games gives Edmonton the early edge at the Saddle Dome.
Well, they had the edge early, they had the edge at the end. 2-1, Edmonton wins in Calgary. Puljujärvi got it started, 5:41 into the game, Rob, and he's starting to make plays. And I mean, obviously credit to Barry. You talked about him getting down there and making that play, but I was watching Puljujärvi as Barry went in, and he's in front of the net where you tell players to go, but then he realized he could get even a better spot to be available for that pass.
Well, the huge advantage he has is his size. He can go anywhere he wants on the ice because there's not a lot of players in the National Hockey League that can push him around. He's a big, strong man that can skate. And he's starting to realize where he needs to go. Bob and I were talking after the game when Puljujärvi never really had to play this style before. He never had to go into the tough areas, be the first guy on a forecheck, go in front of the net on a power play, be the guy that drives through the middle. He was always a guy in his draft year and before where he was the guy leading the charge. He's the guy with the puck on his stick. But there's now someone that's better than him that's on his line in Connor McDavid. So now he give it to him, and now you do those things, and he understands his role now, and he's excelling at it. And I think he's smart enough to realize that, you know, if I do the little things that the coaching staff and my line mates need me to do, I'm going to have a spot on this line for a while. And if I have a spot on this line, you know, I could have put up some pretty good numbers. So, yeah, he goes to the front of the net. He hangs out there, and his talent has never been an issue. It was all upstairs for him, a confidence and whether he could think the game fast enough. Well, he's simplified his game so he doesn't have to think as fast, and his confidence is soaring right now. And when you have success, you feel good about yourself. And I don't know if there's anybody on the team right now that enjoys scoring more than he does. The smile on his face after he scores is huge, all the way back to the bench. And that is a good thing because he's having fun. And when you're having fun and you're good, well, all of a sudden success is going to stay with you.
Oilers win it 2-1 in Calgary. Our CertainTeed hotline is 780-496-0063. Mike has given us a dingle tonight. Mike, thanks a lot for calling. Go ahead, sir.
Hi. How's it going, guys?
Good, Mike.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that was a good game. I'm happy what I'm seeing with them. and it's a good night between the whole crew when, you know, Connor and Draisaitl are pretty quiet. And Mike Smith is doing great. I'm happy he's still in net. I'm hoping he'll still be a net as he continues to win. And yeah. And as the playoffs go, I hope we keep playing like this. Because when we make the playoffs, we're gonna have to put up with teams like Tampa Bay, Florida, and Carolina. Those are tough teams to play against as you go on into the playoffs. So I hope we build that momentum, and I hope we keep strong in the group. And yeah, that's my comment.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Mike. And, well, he's highly optimistic because the earliest you can play those teams he listed would be in the semifinals. There won't be conferences this year. So whoever wins the North Division, you don't know exactly which division you'd wind up playing. Yeah, I mean, if the Oilers played like this or similar to this, I'm not going to guarantee any seedings or places in the standings, but they're going to be in every game and they're going to be in the race. And we talked about it a bit before the game, Rob. When Mike Smith is hot, he's hot. And even last year, I mean, I got his stats right here from last year. October 2nd to November 2nd, he had a .931 save percentage. November 6th to January 2nd, he was .856. And then January 4th to March 11th, he was .912. I mean, clearly he's not going to stay at the .940 he's at this season. But, you know, I interviewed on Inside Sports last night a development coach by the name of Adam Francilia, who works with a lot of NHL goaltenders, including Connor Hellebuck, who he's worked with for the last few years. Mike Smith and he connected in September and October to work on some things and try to, you know, make sure Smith was building on all the things that he does well and maybe getting some of the things that he didn't like out of his game. So far, so good with that. We'll see how it goes. And I don't think we'll see. I know that Mike said he wants Smith to keep playing. I think we see Koskinen again tomorrow. I feel safe about that guess for once, but we'll see.
I think about any guess like that.
we will see Koskinen at times, and that was that was the hope, that the two guys together would be better than maybe they would individually if one of them had to carry the entire load as Mikko was doing at the start of the season.
No, that is true. And Koskinen's going to be a better goalie with rest, and we saw that his last start. He was being asked to do too much, and it's not on him. I mean, that was a mistake due to the injury at the beginning to Smith that from the Oilers' management. And Koskinen was put in a really, really tough situation. But now that if they're both healthy and they're both playing, they can start spelling each other off. And that makes the Oilers a tougher team to play against. And so Smith is playing well right now. But you also got to – it makes it much easier for Mike Smith or Koskinen when he gets back. And if the Oilers play like they did tonight, it wasn't a high-event game. So you're not asking your goaltender, okay, we're going to need you to make about a dozen really hard saves for us to have to win this hockey game. Tonight, he had to make a couple saves early, and then the Oilers shut her down. They didn't give Calgary anything. And any goaltender can have success if you limit the other team's chances. So tonight was a game that Mike Smith continued to flourish, and it was also a game that the Edmonton Oilers defensively were much better than they have been. And that when you have good goaltending, you don't give up a whole lot against, you're going to have success. So, it's the Oilers right now have the benefit of two goalies who in their last few starts have been very, very good, which allows them to feel comfortable with whoever they put in net.
Oilers win 2-1 tonight over the Flames. So this 10-game season series is now tied 1-1 as they'll play again tomorrow. Let's go. Do we have Nugent Hopkins ready to go, Kellen? I think we have the Nuge. All right, courtesy Mattress Superstore. Here's Ryan Nugent-Hopkins.
So the old Ryan Nugent-Hopkins used to probably think it was more fun to win these games like 6-1. Now that you're a wily veteran, is there some satisfaction in winning a tight, ugly 2-1 game like this?
We'll definitely take the points any way that we can right now. Probably wasn't our prettiest win, but sometimes it's going to go down like that, and you just got to grind it out. And I thought Smitty and our decor were really solid tonight, not giving them too many good opportunities. And Smitty just was there when we needed him. But this is going to be a tight checking division when it comes down to it. I know it's been kind of high scoring, but it's not always going to be like this. And so, I mean, tonight we'll definitely just take the points any way we can.
I think that you guys went 4 years without winning a game that McDavid or Draisaitl didn't get a point in. And now you've won two inside a very short time. What's that tell you?
Well, I mean, I think everybody can see our the secondary scoring has been there. Third, fourth line is they've both been buzzing. Tonight, I thought Hauser's line right from the get-go. They just dominated the play and got rewarded with one in the second period, and that was huge for us. And we just kind of carried that on for the rest of the game.
Ryan Rashog, TSN.
Ryan, it wasn't so long ago that we were grilling you guys about, you know, too much 5-on-5 offense against and not being able to defend the way your intention was coming into the season. And it's been a complete turnaround here, you know, in your last 10 games or so. What do you think turned it from a squad that was really having trouble defending to doing a pretty good job of it now?
I just think everybody's on the same page right now. At the start of the year, it was kind of one guy goals, second guy's a little late, and kind of third guy goals. But I think right now everybody's on the same page. We know what we're doing. The systems are there, the structure's there. So everybody has faith in each other. And if something does break down, we know that we have each other covered.
You have a couple of guys, you know, in Neil and Haas that missed significant time, you know, in COVID protocols and for health issues and stuff like that. Maybe just goes to show that it takes guys a little bit of time to get through that. And now that they have, you really see them getting up to speed. I imagine you're happy for them considering what you guys saw them go through.
Oh, for sure. It's going to be a battle, I think, for anybody. You miss all that time and then you kind of got to get yourself, because it's not like you can be skating the whole time either. So it's a little different than a normal injury. It's going to take a little while to get your legs under you and get your timing back. And obviously, especially when you're coming back and it's 10, 15 games in. So definitely happy for those guys to be feeling good and feeling like themselves again.
Tony Brouwer, Oilers TV.
Hey, Ryan, I'll ask the same question I asked Dave Tippett. Can you just maybe speak on the evolution of Tyson Barrie? Because obviously he was off to a little bit of a slow start this year, but now he finds himself second among NHL D-men scoring. And what kind of element he continues to bring to your team each and every night?
Yeah, I mean, Tyson has been really solid for us. He's great on the power play, but he's so smart back there, 5-on-5, making plays, poised with the puck. And I think it goes for everybody. It's what comes down to confidence. If you don't have confidence, it's hard to make those poised plays. And it just seems like if you make one mistake, they just kind of snowball. And so I think confidence is a huge thing. And good to see him with his confidence right now.
Obviously, in the North Division this year, you've been seeing a lot of the same opponents on back-to-back nights. So when you win game one, what do you expect in game two from the other team?
Yeah, we know that they're going to have a push, especially a back-to-back. It's been like that all season, and it's going to be like that. So we need to understand that, especially coming back home. We need to establish our game right in the first period. We need to take care of our first few shifts and make sure that we control the pace, because we know that they're going to be coming hard, and they're going to want those 2 points for sure. And we got to match that and just make sure that they have to catch up to us.
All right, that's the news as the Oilers win 2-1 in Calgary. Edmonton out shooting the Flames tonight, 25-21. Power plays, Edmonton 0-2, Calgary 0-3. Faceoffs this evening, Calgary wound up with the edge at 54%. The top faceoff man tonight for Edmonton was actually Jujhar Kara. He went 60%. Draisaitl was at 54%. Tough night for McDavid in the faceoff dot. He won 2 out of 8. Not a lot of faceoffs tonight, Rob. There were only 37 faceoffs in the game. This was a quick game. A lot of time between whistles. I mean, there was about 6 minutes before the Haas goal. Third period had a couple of long stretches. You've probably played in games like that. Does that make it easier or tougher for players when it's going that long between whistles?
Oh, players like it. Because you get more shifts going. You just turnovers quicker. You're coming off this, you're going right back out again. So it works good for the players. And there weren't a lot of whistles because there wasn't a lot of shots. There wasn't a lot of great opportunities. So they weren't like, there's 2-3 shots in a row. Goalie has to hold the puck, get the face off, and you start all over again. So it was good that way. the game was quick, and it allows the coaching staff to use their whole bench. Now, having said that, using their bench, the one thing that you're starting to see with Dave Tippett is in his trust issues here, really, like Chris Russell, who was on the taxi squad, has moved back into a top four role, played over 20 minutes tonight. And Evan Bouchard and Schlater Cuckoo both played under 10 minutes. And this is the second game in a row. It might be more than that, but I know for sure second game in a row where Bouchard's played 8-9 minutes. Yeah. When Bear comes back, and hopefully it's sooner rather than later, you got to start looking who's going to be in and out of the lineup. And right now, Bouchard, who is very, very good with the puck on his stick and still learning the game defensively, has fallen out of the trust of Dave Tippett for, you know, important minutes at important times. Chris Russell now has earned that, and you would expect that Chris Russell will stay in the lineup when the lineup starts to change when Ethan Bear comes back.
Yeah, and I mean, Cuckoo played under 10 minutes as well. So the majority of this game with their top 4D, which I think they'd like to spread that around a little more. Even if you get that bottom pair up to 12 or 13 minutes, it'll help a little bit. It will, you know, Bear's going to come back. We're not sure how bad Lagesson is hurt. Caleb Jones hasn't played in a while, Rob, but the way things have gone this season, I think everybody has to be ready. And I think we have to expect that. I mean, unless you're Nurse or Barry or Larson, or unless you're really the top four or five forwards, you might have to sit out a game. And then since whoever's on the taxi squad or a scratch might be needed just for injuries, fatigue, hot streaks, cold slumps. So I think, you know, you can say, well, this guy hasn't played for a while. This guy hasn't played for a while. 3 weeks from now, we could be talking about that guy having played four games in a row.
No, you're right. And the one good thing about the taxi squad this year, it's allowing the players to be more game ready when they get their opportunity. Is when you're playing games, and the Oilers, the way the schedule is right now, you're playing so many games over and over, there's not a lot of practice time. On a normal season, there's usually two or three extra players, and that's it. So when they stay out afterwards, it's really hard to have any game-like situations with two or three players. You work on your skills and you work on your conditioning, but you're not really working on game stuff. But when you have 8-9 guys that are sitting out every game, now you can actually do game situational stuff. So these guys are working hard and staying in shape and staying in game shape. So when they come back to the lineup, and we've seen a number of players like an Ennis, like a Neal, like Chason up front, Bouchard on the back end, when they come in, they've come in seamlessly because they've been doing this in practice. So that's one of the good things that the National Hockey League did this year by having a taxi squad with a number of players here, that when players come into the lineup, they're more prepared this year than they have ever been in as long as I've followed the NHL, simply because there's more guys in practice to push them. And the competition is higher because it used to be, we got one extra forward, two extra D. If one forward's struggling or someone gets hurt, I know I'm going in. But when you have three extra D and five extra fours or whatever it is, there's competition. You better be really good in the practices, because if we're going to pull this guy out, I got to beat four other guys in the taxi squad out before I can get into the lineup. So competition and game awareness are two huge reasons why when the players start coming into the lineup, they don't look out of place.
Alexis texts in saying, isn't it more fun watching the Oilers without worrying about the goalie? Smith was great. Alexis says her blood pressure did not rise tonight. Eagles Larry says the Oilers played an almost perfect game. Might not be exciting, but good to see that they can play that type of game if they need it. They need to sign Barry to an extension. He solidifies the top pair. Another texter says, I thought Larson played great and Draisaitl was sloppy with the puck. Too many turnovers in the O-zone, and he missed a double barn door goal. Well, I thought I'm going to give Riddick credit for the save on that one.
I don't think he missed that. Yeah, I'm not going to go with he missed that. He put it where he wanted to, and that was just a great save. And, I mean, that could have changed the outcome of the hockey game, because if Draisaitl scores there, the game's over. Yeah. Great save. Rich needed to have a good game today. He struggled big time this year for the Calgary Flames. And like we saw with Koskinen, and having get overworked, Markstrom had been starting to get overworked because they had no faith in their backup goalie. So it was a good game for both goaltenders tonight.
Oilers win 2-1. The CertainTeed hotline is 780-496-0063. We have Derek standing by. Hey, Derek, thanks for calling, man. Go ahead.
Hey, hi, Reed. How are you doing?
Good.
Hey, met you there a while ago. I don't know if you remember me. Probably know so many Derricks. But I've got the weirdest question, and I thought it's been asked a million times before. But the noise that comes over, the fan noise that comes over on the TV, is that piped in during the games for the players?
Yes. Yes, that's played in the arena. So that's what you're hearing is the arena noise. Yep.
Oh, that's pretty good because I like that actually. But, you know, if a ref misses a call, you hear that, oh, boo, and all that stuff. And that's pretty good. Okay, I just wondered because, yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, okay, good. Well, you're going to finish the play. So here we go. You've already got a Hungry Herd premium sampler box, top quality meats delivered right to your door at everyday low prices, Alberta owned and operated. Kellen, what do we have tonight?
Now Darnell Nurse to Kerr off the draw. Quick shot, save, rebound. What a stop by David Rittich. He robbed Archibald and has it covered with a $1.54 left.
Okay, Josh Archibald's dad was Jim Archibald, who played in the NHL for a team that no longer exists. Was it the Minnesota North Stars or the Jasper Javelins?
Minnesota North Stars.
It totally was, Derek. Thanks for calling in. Kellen will take your info down because we got to put your name into the grand prize draw for a $1,000 gift certificate to Visions Electronics. That's courtesy PF Custom Countertops. Support local with a PF renovation. Get started at pfcustomcountertops.com. Javelins were a good franchise. They could really slice through that neutral zone trap.
They were good. I mean, twice they made it to the finals and never able to overcome the Banff Grizzly Bears. But, you know, I mean, you can't have it all. A mountain range, a great skiing, and Stanley Cup champions. You had me fooled. I was flipping a coin here to see which one it was.
Well, speaking of which, have you seen any of the pictures from Lake Tahoe?
No, I haven't.
You should look, Rob, where that rink is for the two games this weekend. It's like it almost looks like a fantasy rink they'd make in a video game. There's a lake. The lake's right behind. The mountains are in the background. Cool. Yeah, and like I had John Shannon on, and he said they couldn't do it in a year with fans, right? So they're making the best of a bad situation because you couldn't stage that type of a game and pay for it and not have fans there, right? So this year there's no fans anyway. So they're like, let's pick a beautiful spot and put an outdoor game there. It's pretty neat.
Oh, good on them. I'm going to go look for sure. I mean, the thing is, they could do that in Jasper and Banff or any of those areas here.
Well, they talked about Lake Louise, right? But yeah. And I asked John about that too. But, you know, Canada's obviously a little different than the States. And he said that being in a national park in Canada and you get into all that kind of stuff. But who knows? Maybe someday. Okay. Oilers win 2-1 over the Flames. You can get us at 780-496-0063. You'll also hear from Gaetan Haas. $200 donation tonight to 630.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Chad Santa's Anonymous, that's from James H. Brown and Associates Serious Injury Lawyers. They're given $100 for every Oilers goal throughout the season. Good stuff from them. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Well, the Oilers have now beaten every team that they're going to play this year in the regular season, which I think every team is going to do to every other team. Rob, if it hasn't already happened, Calgary and Ottawa hasn't played. Haven't played yet. Well, I guess Ottawa hasn't beaten Edmonton. So Edmonton wins 2-1 tonight over the Flames. Their second of 10 meetings this season. They're going to do it again tomorrow night at 8 at Rogers Place. Our coverage will start with the faceoff show at 6:30. Brian writes in. He says a lot of time has been spent talking about reuniting the Draisaitl, Yamo, Nuge line. And justification for not doing it was that McDavid needed someone to play with. Well, McDavid has someone to play with. It's Jesse Puljujärvi. It goes without saying that he has come a long way since the beginning of the season. RNH is struggling, and it's not working right now with McDavid, so he needs a change to energize him. As for who to put with McDavid, either Ennis or Cahoon, I'd like to see Cahoon get a look up there. That is from Brian.
Yeah, and I completely understand why you're saying that. The problem right now for let's go back to the second line, Leon, Yamamoto slowed down, and completely understandable. There was no way he was going to keep up the pace that he had last year, point a game. It's tougher, your second go around, your second year in the National Hockey League, because you don't surprise anybody. So now Leon's playing with Yamamoto, who's struggling, and Cahoon, I mean, as much as you loved the effort, he was not accomplishing really anything offensively. Ennis is a stopgap guy. He's a guy that you can throw in for short periods of time, but he's not a second-line player in the National Hockey League anymore. So now your second-line, Leon, and I've read all the stats, he's not getting any scoring chances himself. He's creating for other people. They're not scoring, and nobody's creating for him. So that's where if you put Nugent Hopkins there, at least now you've got someone that can make the play. Leon can score, but he needs somebody to get him the puck in a position to score, and these wingers haven't been doing that. Again, the same problem. Like, Puljujärvi has played better, but there's really no left winger outside of Nugent Hopkins that you can throw up in the top two and feel real comfortable with right now. The others still have some depth issues. You can see frustration a little bit creeping into Leon's game because there's a lot of times he wants the puck, he's not getting it. It might happen. It may happen. They did it at the end of the game. We saw Yamamoto, Drysdale, and Nugent Hopkins reunited for a couple shifts. Who knows? Maybe it'll happen sooner rather than later.
Well, it's not as big a concern when they're getting some wins, and they haven't been able to win 8 of their last 10. More to come here. You can get us at 780-496-0063. Gaetan Haas, post-game reaction coming up as well. His first goal of the season turned out to be the game winner. The Oilers win 2-1 in Calgary. Back after the news and weather, Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
As we bring him back to the live action from the left point that's wide and brought back the other way by Calgary. Tkachuk down low, Mangiapane shot denied, Smith. What a save. Got it high blocker. And the rebound pulled free by Ryan Nugent-Hopkins.
Another good outing by Mike Smith. He has stopped 125 shots on 133 shots against this season. That's a .940 save percentage. He's 4-0. I did have a couple of people saying, how could he be 4-0 when he was the starting goalie in a loss to Winnipeg? Well, unfortunately for Mikko Koskinen, he let in fewer goals than Smith that night, but he let in the game-winning goal. So he takes the loss. Smith got a no decision out of that one. 780-496-0063 if you want to chime in tonight. Kyle Turris was a healthy scratch, Rob. You know, that'll be something else to watch going forward if he gets back into the lineup. Well, he will, but when he gets back in and how he plays, I mean, the Oilers are going to need more from him here as they move along as well. But a 2-1 victory tonight for the Oilers over the Flames. So now their record is up to 11-8 on the season. And James Neal comes in, and Nugent Hopkins gave that line credit. Neal, Haas, and Chiasson.
They were good. And it's a veteran line. It's guys that have been around. And we talked about it. When guys get pulled out of the lineup, there's two things they can do. They could work hard to get back in, or they can pout about it. And guys that have been around the National Hockey League for a long time, they're there for a reason because of the they understand the business. They're professionals. They know that things go up one day, go down the next day. When you get your chance, be ready for it. And they were. Chiasson, when he came in, was good. Neal, when he came in, was good. They didn't pout. They went out and did their job. And it's whether you get 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15, 20, whatever you get in the game, make a difference in those minutes. And if you make a difference early, you're going to find yourself getting more minutes. And that's the one thing that I've always liked about coaches. That's the one thing that I've noticed with Dave Tippett. A line may come in as your first, second, third, or fourth line on the depth chart to start the game. But how you play and how that line played will dictate how much ice time you get. And that line got more and more ice time as the game went on because they've earned the trust of the coaching staff. So, yeah, they were good and a very important goal for them. I know that Calgary scored right afterwards, but that was a buffer. They extended a lead so that when there was a mistake and when Calgary did tie or get that goal, they were still in the lead. So a huge goal from that line. Some veteran players understanding and accepting their roles and playing well with it.
All right, other action tonight as we check the scoreboard for Advantage Trailer Rentals with daily, weekly, monthly, and rent-to-own options. Head to AdvantageTrailerRentals.com. The Oilers farm team, the Bakersfield Condors, getting their first win of the season. It was a tough start for them. They were 0-5, but tonight they beat San Diego 5-1. Tyler Benson had a goal in this one. Ryan McLeod had a goal. And who was the winning goalie? Just double-check. It was Stuart Skinner, the winning goaltender. He stops 22 out of 23. In the NHL, Laurent Brossoit, the former Oiler and Oil King, gets a shutout for the Winnipeg Jets. They win 2-0 in Vancouver. The Hurricanes, Hurricanes and Panthers, Rob, really doing well here. Hurricanes beat the Blackhawks 5-3. Panthers only have a couple of regulation time losses. They were all over the Wings tonight, 7-2 the final.
Yeah, both good hockey clubs. Now, it's really hard to judge how good teams really are because they're only playing teams in their own division. So if you got a weak division, you're going to look better. You have a tough division, you're not going to look as good. But Florida, they're making a move, and they had a great series against Tampa. I think last week they played two or three times in a row. Good hockey club. And Carolina, just they continue to get better. And the thing about Carolina, their star players all young. So they're going to be good for a while.
Yeah, that's an interesting division to watch. That is the Central Division. So Florida's 11-2-2. Carolina's 11-3-1. Now Chicago's 9-6-4. But they've played five more games than Tampa Bay, who they're only a point ahead of. So Tampa Bay's 10-3-1. So, I mean, at the top, you got Tampa with a 750 points percentage. Carolina's at 767 and Florida's at 800. So the top three have already separated a little bit there. Columbus is still sort of lurking. Dallas hasn't played as many games because they've had a couple of postponements, haven't they, with COVID and now the weather stuff. So that could be an interesting division to watch. Detroit's not off to a great start. Nashville's doing not so great. So, yeah, the word you used,
you can apply right now in the Canadian division to separating. You're starting to see some separation. Another loss by the Canucks. They're playing better, but they're continuing to fall behind. And it's going to be tough to come back in a division without a 13-2 run or a 14 win out of 18 games, because all the other teams that are ahead of you are playing each other. So one of those teams is always getting points. So there's now separation starting. Ottawa, everyone expected, they're going to fall out of it, playing better, but they're not going to be a playoff team. And Vancouver's just, there's such a space now. I'm not exactly sure the amount of points, but there's now, they got to overcome a lot. So now they're falling off the pace, and there is separation in the Canadian division. I don't think anyone expected Vancouver to fall off this quickly, but it shows you what goaltending does. Not that they're getting horrible goaltending, but they don't have Markstrom now, and he made up for a lot of deficiencies in their game last year.
Yeah, and I've often just been sorting the standings by points percentage because Calgary and Vancouver have the same number of points. Calgary has four games in hand.
Yes.
And I know you often say, well, games in hand are great, but you have to win them. But if you're already tied with a team with games in hand, that's a pretty big
advantage. You have the opportunity to win them because Vancouver doesn't. So, and that's why tomorrow's game is so important too for the Oilers. If they can sweep and get 4 points against Calgary, Calgary already will be like, ooh, a third of this way into the season. Yeah, it just gets a little more daunting. And it's tough getting up, looking at the standings every morning, saying, oh, if those teams played last night and they're both ahead of us and one of them is going to go further ahead of us. So, yeah, there is a little bit of separation now amongst the elite and the teams that are going to have to really go on some sort of silly run to be able to get themselves back into it.
Yeah, the Oilers are now second in points, but fourth in points percentage. So, you know, I more consider them fourth. 5 points ahead of Calgary. Calgary does have two games in hand. And so, yeah, if Edmonton wins in regulation tomorrow, that's a 7-point cushion. Mm-hmm. So then Calgary's two games in hand already aren't looking as good. I mean, still a lot of track to cover, but as we often say, the points early in the first half of the season count the same as the points in the second half. So, you know, Edmonton's recovered from that bad start. Good to go 8-2. They've been able to win a few different ways, Rob. I mean, last year the formula was largely special teams and goaltending at times. And clearly goaltending's been big here for the last couple of weeks. The special teams haven't been as critical when the Oilers win a game, though. I mean, they got the penalty killing tonight. This wasn't a big power play game. They've been able to win a couple games with just a power play goal. You know, what were they, 1-for-5, 1-for-6 last game against Winnipeg? So the formula has shifted a little bit for the Oilers, with certainly with some depth scoring and some defense scoring helping way more than it did last year.
Yeah, and every game except for, was it one maybe this year against the Canadiens early, every game you could think, you know what, at the end of the night, you're like, well, the Oilers could have won that. I mean, they're all close. I mean, there was games last year, even the Oilers were winning, they were winning simply because their power play went 4-for-5 in a game that they were badly outplayed. You know, not the whole season, but there were games that they weren't as good in. This mm-hmm. year, they've been competitive in all of the games except for one. And at the end of the night, they can say, you know what, I mean, they could have won that game. The game, they're 8-2 in their last 10. The game against the Calgary Flames, they were the better team that night. The moves that they made in the offseason to shore up their depth have paid off. When you've got a fourth line where you can put a Neil and a Chase on your fourth line, I mean, you feel pretty confident that two veteran guys who, you know, last year at times were both on the number one line for the Edmonton Oilers, and now they're playing a different role and not counted on it as much, but they understand the role and are trying to excel at it and accept it. So this is the pundits before the season said that this would be a very tight race. I don't think this is the best division, but it certainly is the most competitive. And I think we're seeing that. The Ottawa Senators, who are a team that has had more or less zero goaltending most of the year, are not a bad hockey club. They're giving teams a push when you play against them because of their work ethic and some young stars. So this is a fun, competitive division to be part of. And the good thing is every game seems to be a one-goal game, at least for the Oilers, which is entertaining for us watching.
Yeah, and you have to be comfortable in those games. And, I mean, we saw that so often, Rob, the teams we covered where the Oilers were, you know, 28th, 29th, last place in the standings, where, you know, I remember Anaheim used to beat the Oilers almost for fun. And they, you know, they could have opened it up and tried to win 7-3 or 7-4, but they were just like, no, we know they'll mess up before we do. We'll win 1-0 or 2-1. That's fine. You know, we know eventually they're going to make a mistake. And I'm not saying that the Oilers are at that level, or that they're just sitting back waiting for other teams to make mistakes. But you have to be comfortable in a close game, not panic, trust your teammates, trust your goaltender. And over the last couple of weeks, we've seen a little more of that.
Well, the difference between great teams or really good teams in the NHL and the average is the great teams win the one goal games. And we've had callers that have called in when the Oilers have beat a bad team, they beat them by one. Well, they should have beat them more than that. Well, the great teams don't beat the bad teams 6-1, 7-1 every night. But they'll beat them 2-1. They'll beat them 3-2. They understand how to win the close hockey games. And that's what you want to be able to do through the regular season, because when you get to playoff hockey, it seems like every game is a one-goal game. Whether it's the first seed playing the eighth or the second versus seventh, whatever it is, it's always one-goal games. And the teams that are comfortable, that don't get shaky, that don't make that mistake, don't get nervous, those are the teams that go further in the playoffs because they've done it before. And now we're starting to see the Oilers learn how to do that. And if they can, it's going to bode well through the rest of the regular season and then hopefully a playoff run. But you've got to be comfortable in those games. And we're starting to see the Oilers get better and better at it right now.
Yeah, I like how you put that, Rob. And it is an interesting discussion. And I understand, you know, bounces are a part of hockey. I mean, the Flames could have banked one in off a guy's rear end tonight in the third mm-hmm. period and put the game into overtime, and the quality of the Oilers' play would have been the same. But I do think over the long haul of a season, the better teams win the close games. Yep. I don't think winning a one goal game is a fluke or an accident. The Oilers get two tonight in a 2-1 win. Whenever they get five or more, we turn on the Japanese Village goal light on 630ched.com. That's presented by Japanese Village Restaurants. Thrilled to serve you again for dine-in and takeout. Complete details, jvedmonton.ca. Okay, we'll call a quick timeout, and then you'll hear from the game-winning goal scorer tonight, Gaetan Haas, on Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. 2-1, Oilers win it in Calgary. You have about 10 minutes to go to the Oilers website. Go to the Edmonton Oilers Community Foundation online 50-50 raffle. It's presented by REMAX. Estimated jackpot for tonight, now it's $754,000. So you have until 11 to get a ticket. Every game day, you can go online, get a ticket between 9 in the morning and 11 at night. There have been some big ones this year. Well, not that there's anything wrong with winning half of $754,000, but some have been even larger than that. But certainly the Community Foundation thanks everybody who's pitching in, and congratulations to the people who've been able to win a little bit of cash there as well. All right, Gaetan Haas, the game winner tonight. Here he is.
Gaetan, we know you've been through quite a bit trying to work your way, back into the lineup and back playing regularly again. Maybe just describe how it feels to be in the lineup and then to be contributing the way you are.
Yeah, it feels great. It was a hard time. I work hard, and today I'm just happy to have the team.
Can you give us a little bit of an idea of maybe what some of the toughest things were that you went through in waiting to get back? And, you know, were there some days where, you know, felt like it was a real long way away?
Yeah, sure. I mean, mentally was the hardest part.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
You got through the COVID, come back, and then you have some issue again. And that was the hard part, but I work hard, and I'm just happy to be back now.
Mark Spector, Sportsnet.
You feel like you're in the right place here. This is a team, they've got all the high-end talent figured out, but what this team's searching for, Gaetan, is guys in your position that can chip in, that can help a little bit. Is this the right place for you to be right now?
Yeah, sure. When I signed by the Oilers, I was sure that was the right place for me. So now every time I step on the ice, I try to give my best. I always did that. So, yeah, I just keep doing that.
You get a win tonight where Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid didn't get a point. This team doesn't usually win when those guys don't get a point, but you did tonight. Is that overall a good sign of a team that's starting to figure it out?
Yeah, I mean, everybody in this team wanna help those guys, so we're just happy if we can do it. So, yeah, it's always great if you can take some goal and let him a little bit free for a night.
Jim Matheson, Post Media.
Gaetan, can you describe your goal, please?
I think Chaser came in zone, bring to Nealer. I bring the puck to the net. I try to go hard to the net, find the puck, and yeah, just happy to have the rebound on my stick.
You kill a lot of penalties, but tonight also you got lots of five-on-five play. Do you think tonight was one of those games where your whole line actually got to play, you know, like a regular shift, as opposed to, you know, you killing penalties but not playing so much?
Yeah, it's always nice if you can play five-on-five. If you have rhythm, it's helping you play good. So I think our line today play really hard. We just keep it simple, put the puck deep, and go to work. And I think that was a pretty good game.
Yeah, and all the forwards playing, you know, relatively regular shifts, given how they're going to be used. I guess Dominic Cahoon, maybe the exception there. He only played 8.5 minutes. He was the only forward under 10 minutes for the Edmonton Oilers. For the Calgary Flames, Robin, it's an ongoing story there. Sam Bennett, who had 4 shots on goal tonight, but he was -2, only played 6.5 minutes, didn't see him in the third period.
Yeah, and again, I know that the TV guys were talking about the fact they didn't know what had caused it. I know -2 doesn't help you, but I don't remember him being at fault, you know, on the goals. And I agree with Jack, and Jack talked about it. Every time we've seen Sam Bennett play, he seems to be effective against the Oilers. And He brings a sort of game that you would love in the lineup on a daily nightly basis. So I don't know what he's done to get himself, you know, out of favor with that team. But to me, he's a guy, if just looking at their lineup, especially Monahan out of the lineup, Derek Ryan out of the lineup, you would think a Bennett would be something that you would relish having and being able to put out there consistently. I mean, the way he plays physically, plays a little nasty. He's got some skill. He's got toughness. I don't understand it on that side. As for the Oilers, Cahoon, it's tough for him when there are specialty teams. He doesn't play on either one now. So he's going to be low man on the totem pole when it comes to time on ice. But the coaching staff had trust in all four lines because all four lines were good when they were out there. They didn't give up. They didn't leak chances against. And if that, and I know that, I don't know if you watched between periods. I know you're on more than I am. But Matt Stajan was talking about third and fourth lines, and he was in an argument kind of with, I think it was Eric Francis, where he said that third and fourth lines, if they're not on for anything against, don't look for goals from them. You don't need goals from them. You just don't need them to give up any against. That's what you and I have been talking about. If momentum's not changing when your third and fourth line are out there, if they're not giving anything up at the end of the night, if they're even, then they've done their job. And I think that's what you saw to the third and fourth lines for the Oilers tonight. They gave them a chance every time they were out there, which allowed your superstars not to get overtaxed.
And we'll see if Sean Monahan plays tomorrow. Last on him day-to-day with a lower body injury. The Oilers have won 8 of their last 10. They're 11-8 on the season. 2-1 win tonight over the Flames, who dropped to 8-8-1. Hey, let's do it again tomorrow, this time at Rogers Place. Face-off show on 6:30. Ched will start at 6:30. The game is at 8 p.m. Get more on this one on 630ched.com and globalnews.ca. Thanks to Troy Bowler, our game day engineer, and our studio producer tonight, Kellen Kennedy. On behalf of Rob Brown, I'm Reed Wilkins. You've been listening to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Talk to you tomorrow.
630 Ched Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 Ched.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.